My name is Ryan Luke Winslade, and I am a PK and middle child. I know what it's like to be a misfit, an oddball, a weirdo, but I'm okay with that. If you're like me, you are most certainly welcome. Even if you're not, you'll hopefully enjoy yourself here on Pastor's Middle Kid anyway. We'll talk about stuff and look at things a little differently. All right, let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome to the best 50 or so minutes of your day. That's right, it's Pastor's Middle Kid. My name's Ryan Luke, I'm the host of this show, and today you're in for a treat. I have a couple of friends who have been on the podcast before that hopefully you will recognize by their distinct Canadian accents, and they are actually back from an overseas mission trip. They went to two different places, and you'll have to stick around to hear about that. It's quite the episode today, actually. There's some really meaty stories about their experiences overseas, as well as a bit of lighthearted banter to wrap things up. And yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed recording it, and I trust that you'll enjoy listening to it. There's no real gentle way to put this. I'm trying to raise $3,000 by the beginning of April so that I can take the School of Communication and Digital Influence at YWAM Newcastle, which will hopefully further my skills in podcasting, as well as conversation, public speaking, writing, and communicating through the arts, be that music or other means. So that's what I'm planning on doing, and I believe God has called me to do it. The thing is, I just don't have the money to take it yet. So if you're at all interested in helping me out, if you believe in what I do, and if you even just believe in me, then I would absolutely appreciate and love your support. You can help me out by going to ywamnewcastle.com/donations, or you can use PayPal, and I'm on there, ryan.luke.winslade@gmail.com. You can check that out. Or if you want a direct deposit to me, which I would thoroughly appreciate, just message me for my details and you can use that Gmail address as well. Basically, I would really appreciate some help, and I know that God is going to provide all the money that I need to take it, but at the same time, He likes to include other people. And if you want to be part of that group that equips me to be able to take this school, then heck, that'd be one of the greatest things you could do for me. So that's probably the best way to support this show, is by supporting me. But otherwise, I do have a Patreon page. That is www.patreon.com/pastorsmiddlekid. And you're able to give $1 a month or whatever you think this podcast is worth. And that's another way to support me. So yeah, that'd be nice as well. Okay, now that I'm done asking you for money, I was actually jamming out to some old school Reliant K. And by old school, I mean 2001 old school. So the anatomy of tongue in cheek. So this song I have playing underneath right now is Breakdown. I really like this one. It's a good tune. And there's quite a few, not, I wouldn't say necessarily classics on this album, but there's a lot of really quirky songs. And that's what really appeals to me. And that was kind of my main draw card into getting into Reliant K in the first place, way back in the day. And at the end of this episode, I will also have Pressing On from Reliant K's album, The Anatomy of the Tongue in Cheek, which came out in 2001. So really throwing it back here with a 15-year-old album, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Once again, life's thrown me a curve, and it blew up right in my face. Once again, life's rattled my nerves. Don't you see that I'm stuck in this place? Once again, life's thrown me a curve, and it blew up right in my face. Once again, life's rattled my nerves. Don't you see that I'm stuck in this place? All because you're giving me a breakdown. Breakdown. Down.
I'm here with two returning guests who are not just returning to Pastor's Middle Kid, but in fact to the country of Australia right now. I have with me my friends Gordy Buchanan.
Heyo!
And Petra Kasten.
Hello.
Also known as Rock Strong Chestnut.
Oh, hello. Yeah, I'm back.
Great. Well, this is a very special episode of Pastor's Middle Kid because, as I just said, these guys got back from overseas. It was actually yesterday at time of recording, which was actually Sunday for everyone else. That is Sunday last week. But Sunday, if you've listened to this later on, then...
Oh, I get it. It's like a show to the future.
That's right. We're just kind of messing with time a little here.
That's kind of like when I talk to people from Canada, and I'm like, hey, yeah, like, cars fly right now, because I'm 18 hours ahead.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Yeah, gotcha.
Just so you guys know, the 15th of March is going to be awesome. It's already great. Like, yeah. That type of thing.
Yeah, I like to usually warn my family about the weather, because I'm like, oh, right now it's, like, sunny at this time, so guaranteed back at home it's going to be that same weather.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not true at all. You grew up on the coast of Canada just like I did, so it's 98% sure that it's going to be raining.
No, that's not how science works, Petra.
No, but that's how the coast of BC works.
All right.
Random conversation.
So you guys... for those of you listening at home or in the car or wherever in the world you are,
that rhymed.
I'm a poet.
Oh, congrats.
Thanks.
And a scholar.
Thank you.
And a gentleman.
I receive all of them. For those of you that don't know, we are, and that's actually everyone except those that are outside the door right now, we are recording in the good old mail room at YWAM Newcastle.
Yay!
Yeah, so we are going back to the only gender-neutral area in our lodgings. Hooray! We're not in the studio this... we're in a different studio this week. It's the mail room studio.
Mm-hmm. Also, for those of you who don't know, this is the place where we receive mail.
Yes, it's not a men gender exclusive kind of.
Yeah,
place.
It's the junder,
the
gender neutral mail room. Abby made the pun earlier, so I thought I'd throw that up for her.
So this is not just the male room, but it's the female room as well.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, that's what you're saying. I see.
It's not very clear, but. In my defense, when she delivered it, it was also not very clear.
Oh, I get that. Delivered the mail.
That was not intentional. Oh, really good. There we go.
So is this like a birth joke now?
Whoa.
Whoa. I don't think we want to go there.
Okay.
How long have you been expecting that one?
Oh, shoot.
Just then there was a pregnant pause. I'm sorry. Moving right along.
I'm the only one that can be pregnant, so let's not talk about it.
Gordy's disappointed.
I'm not allowed to make those puns anymore. I guess I better head out then.
Alright.
No.
Let's bring this back in, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Part of our ministry here at YWAM Newcastle for the Discipleship Training School is the outreach phase.
Yes.
And the outreach is the 2 or 3 months of overseas missions placement. That's what you guys just got back from.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you give the listeners, wherever they are, a bit of an understanding of what an outreach is like. Petra, would you like to take that one?
Oh, I'm going to take... Okay. For us, it was going overseas to different countries to talk to people about who God is and who God is in our personal lives, but also how He can affect them and how much He loves them. Pretty much 2.5 months of mercy ministry where you're going and you're talking to people and serving them in whatever way they need you to.
Mm-hmm.
So you're building toilets or you're praying for them. You know, it's a very, very wide range.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not so glamorous, but
yeah.
You realize as a disciple of God that you're going to be doing a lot of unglamorous things in life. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's the heart of the outreach phase to come alongside what God's already doing in the area,
mm-hmm.
and to minister alongside churches and other missions initiatives,
yeah.
and yeah, see some unity within the body of Christ in the area, and
mm-hmm.
do ministry together. Ultimately, wanting to
put something in place that will outlast our stay, right?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Because the last thing you want is to be in there, be a one-time hit, and then leave, and there's no discipleship for these people that bring Jesus into their hearts and other things like that. So, Gordy, whereabouts in the world did you go for your outreach?
So, for outreach, I spent the first 2 weeks in Byron Bay in Australia, which is really cool because my parents have been there before, like when they traveled around the world together.
Nice.
Shout out to Shelley.
Go, Shelley.
Oh, yeah. Number nine, I think, for a shout out. We spent 2 weeks there, and then we spent the rest in Mexico, in Durango, Mazatlan, and Mexico City.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
You had quite the fiesta.
Yeah.
I expect in Byron Bay.
Byron Bay was, especially Byron Bay, the fiesta was definitely in Byron Bay.
That's right.
Dude, the tacos in Byron were amazing, let me tell you.
Hey, Byron kebabs are pretty good. I've definitely had Byron kebabs a number of times.
Oh.
And even the pancakes and chai tea that the Wyoming gives out in Byron Park. I don't know if you've known this, but I've been to Byron about 3 times.
Okay.
2 of them with YWAM and once passing through.
Okay, yeah.
I have a bit of a history with Byron Bay. Not saying I have a history that led me to Byron Bay, but I've ministered in Byron Bay before.
Okay.
I'm trying to say.
Okay.
What's wrong with Byron Bay that you don't want to have a history there?
Well, it's...
Well...
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, including Petra,
never been,
it's the backpacker and hippie capital of Australia, and the second largest drug capital of Australia. Second
now
to
I
its
realize.
Neighbor.
Okay.
Nimbin. Yeah.
Oh, I like this.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's a fun name.
Kind of reminds me of Nimbus, like the Goku's yellow cloud that he used to fly around in Dragon Ball Z. Never mind, neither of you know that.
Or Nimbusol. Which is not a nice thing to say to someone.
You mean imbecile?
Right, that one.
No, imbecile.
I swear, English is my first
language. You imbecile.
All Goku has to do is call for his cloud and Nimbus will come right. Oh, wow.
Okay, so...
All right. Petra, whereabouts in the world did you go for your outreach?
For the first month, I was in Cambodia, about 2.5 hours out of the capital of Phnom Penh.
Mm-hmm.
In a remote village, so no one actually knows where I was. And then the second month I was in India, in, am I really gonna forget where I was?
Vizag?
No, I was in Hyderabad, there it is.
Hyderabad.
See, sometimes
Hydrobed.
No.
Yeah, it's like a waterbed.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like the best
like
bed ever.
It's awesome. No, I was in...
I learned that lesson from Hercules. I learned Zeus, good. Hydra, bad.
Sorry. What?
Back to you, Petra.
So, my second month, I was in Hyderabad in India, and due to circumstance with our visas, we couldn't stay any longer in India, so we came back, and we are in the community of Windale here in Australia.
Not to be confused with Winslade, which is my surname, which people always get wrong.
Yeah.
Seriously? Do they call you Windale?
They've called me Winsdale many, many times.
Oh, I knew that.
And even when I read the name Windale written down as the suburb in Newcastle, I always mentally correct it to Winslade.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Crazy.
You just want to claim the neighborhood.
Yeah, let's say that. Let's say it isn't everybody gets my last name wrong. And so it's a defense mechanism. No, this is
for your world's takeover.
That's right.
Start in Windale, and
that's
then the rest of the world will follow.
You definitely aren't bitter about your last name.
That's right, yeah. I mean, it's a stepping stone. I want to become mayor of Windale first, and then I'll change its name to Winslade, and then from there I'll just...
Try to take over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of the world, you guys have just been out and about in it.
Yes.
But not of it, am I right?
Oh! Gosh,
great.
Joke.
Cool, so we are going to... we're going to dig a little bit into what you guys were doing. I'm not going to ask for specifics because it's going to take way too long.
Yeah.
And this being your debrief week at YWAM Newcastle, you're going to be sharing that stuff all the time. So, Gordy, when you were in Byron Bay,
okay,
was there a particular instance that you really saw God move, or there was something that challenged you that you grew a lot as a result of?
Yeah.
What is it?
No! I refuse! How dare you ask me questions?
Oh man, I'm the host of this show.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there is one in particular, probably, over all of Outreach, the place I probably grew the most is Byron, because...
Physically?
Yeah. Do you see this beard I have now?
It's pretty good.
It's too bad, like, you can't transfer a beard through a microphone so that everyone can see.
Scratch it against the mic.
Am I allowed to?
Oh, it's getting dangerous.
Okay.
Stay away from it. Okay. I feel like people that are listening to this are just going to start growing facial hair. And they're not going to know what's happening. And it's going to be ginger and it's going to be weird.
Remind me not to listen.
Okay. I don't actually listen to my own podcast. I just edit it and then I'm
done with that. Jeez, don't listen to that.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm like that. I'm like an actor that doesn't watch his own movies because he's lived them. Yeah. Great.
Okay.
So,
anyways,
not physically growing, but
yeah,
but in
spiritually and emotionally and
mentally,
yeah. In a lot of ways, emotionally and spiritually,
yeah. Especially emotionally, probably
emotionally. Yeah, there was like a point at the very beginning where the main focus in Byron was evangelism, mm-hmm. and like going up and talking to people and telling them about Jesus.
Yeah, classic.
And at the very beginning, I was like, heck no, I can't do that, because one, I was just like, growing up, I was just like a really awkward person, so like going up and talking to people I've never met before, like, I would never, ever do that.
You've already given away your secret on Pastor's Middle Kid before, though.
What?
When making friends with strangers, you just crack a really bad joke.
Yeah.
And you can only go up from there. You've already said that on this.
It's true. You set your expectations low for the other person, and then no matter what, you beat them.
So were you able to use that strategy in evangelism?
There actually was a couple of times where I would go up to people. I don't think I ever did this, like, in a situation where, like, I was telling someone about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever did that. But, like, definitely when I was meeting people, like, on the bases we went to.
Yeah.
Then I would always start with a bad joke,
cool.
And then they'd be like, you're weird, and then it'd be like, hi, I'm Gordy, and then it went from there.
Why? Yeah.
It actually works, believe it or not.
Great, sorry. So you were doing evangelism in Byron Bay.
Yeah.
And what happened?
So there was one day where the place that we were at was holding a concert with Steve Grace. And
love that guy.
Yeah, he's cool. Nice. And so we were inviting people from all over Byron just to like come to this place, free barbecue, free concert. Backpackers love that.
Yeah.
So we did, and one of the guys that ended up coming, his name was Lyle.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of like after the concert, he stayed longer than everyone else. So I got the chance to talk to him about God and just like all the different things he's been doing in my life and like just how he provides and stuff, and he would respond with like questions of, or not questions, but like of stories where he's like, oh, I have something similar to that, and then he'd tell me a story about like how he didn't have any money, and then like he gave away all that he had left, and then God blessed him with more money.
Wow, nice.
And like, but he didn't say God, he was just like, and then randomly this happened.
Yeah.
So I was like, whoa, okay. So at first I'm like, oh yeah, so that's God. And then he was like, yeah, whatever. And then like, we wanted to get him a hostel because he was planning to sleep during like outside.
Yeah.
So we drove him around, and like during that time we got to pray for him, and he was like really touched and moved because like he wasn't expecting like a Christian to like love him.
Yeah.
And like just not judge him, even though like we knew stuff about him that was like not necessarily like the best.
Yeah.
And so he was like really moved by that, and he was like, wow, like thank you, like that's so moving. And then he left, but then he came back because it was full.
Yeah.
And then it turns out all of them in Byron were full. So then we...
Well, it was like a Bethlehem story.
Yeah. So he was like still in the car this time. And this entire time I'm like sharing everything about the gospel to him. Mm-hmm. And like just sharing him like about Jesus. And then we ended up getting him a spot at the Byron base, which was like 15 minutes away from where we were.
Yeah.
But the GPS screwed up, so it took us an hour.
Turn left, then to the right. You should turn. Yes.
So during this, like, and that was Jesus too. And during this entire time, like, I was in the back talking to him and like telling him about Holy Spirit and stuff. And then like, as I was like explaining to him what it was, he was starting to feel it, and he was like, "Whoa, I can actually like, I know what you're talking about. Like, I feel that right now." And it was like crazy. And then we dropped him off at this really nice place. Like the Byron Bay base is like a mansion.
Yeah.
And it has like a pool and like a tennis court. It's super nice. And so he was like amazed that like he was planning to sleep in the rain, and then a bunch of Christians picked him up, loved on him, and dropped him off at a mansion, and then left. And then 2 days later, he came to another concert by Tasman Jude that was playing, that they came to, that he came to, and during that time he told us that like he had a vision, like out-of-body experience where he like went into space. It sounds really weird, but he like went into space and he met like three kings that seemed really familiar to him. And then we got to tell him, it's like, dude, that's the Holy Spirit. And like, I mean, not the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Didn't know what that was, so we explained that to him. And then like at the end of the night, like he was just like so interested in it, but then he was like, I asked him if he wants to give his life to God, and he was like, I don't think I want to, because then I lose all free will in my life. And then
I see,
and he's like, because he's like, I still want to have a family, and I still have stuff here, like I'm still a bit like have a problem with drugs, so I don't think I'm ready. And so then like instantly we're just like, no, that's not how it works. Like accepting God into your life is like putting yourself, I guess, into God's will, or like giving him like reign of your life so that like he can do what he wants with it. But it doesn't mean at any point like you don't have a say in things. And like so we like told him about that, and we're just like, yeah, no, like God doesn't want this to like have full control of your life. He just like wants it because he wants to show you his love and like bring you on a journey. And he was like really touched and moved by that, and he was like, okay, well, I don't know yet. So then I explained to him the entire story of like God pursuing him, because like honestly this entire time I was just there, like everything like fell into place, and I was just the person that God used for it. And then eventually I was just like, okay, so this is what happened, like do you want to like give your life to God? Like he really wants to know you and he loves you. And he was just like, and then he was fighting in his head for a long time, but then the guy that I was with, Max, like said something about like, just listen to your heart like right now, because like there's, the enemy's going to be trying to tell you things right now. And so he did, and he ended up accepting Jesus. And we like, it was crazy, and it was like one of the happiest moments of my life probably. And like we were just like dancing, and like we like prophesied over him after, and like throughout the rest of Byron, like we were, that was like near like the first couple of days that that happened. So then afterwards we were like hanging out with him, we'd go to the beach with him and stuff, and like just check in on him, see how he's doing. And like he's gonna be a radical Christian, like seriously, he's like
so good.
He's only been like he only has like known it was God for like such a short amount of time, but he said the most beautiful prayer, because like we asked if we could lead him through a prayer, but he said the most beautiful prayer by himself ever. And he's just like rad, he's like willing to do whatever.
Love it. That's awesome.
It's weird because at first I was like asking, because we had to raise a lot of money for outreach. And then it was like, if I just went to that one place, if I spent all that money just to go to this one place and like talk to him, then it was worth it. But not only that, but like if it kind of like made my life feel worth it in like a weird way, but like where it's just like, wow, that's like something that like really made an impact on someone's life. And like God's so good that he let me be a part of that. So
come on. All right, Petra, it's your turn. Can you one up that story?
Hey, we are not comparing stories.
Hey, no, that would worry.
It's all for the glory of God.
That's right. This is all God. How about sharing a story from Cambodia?
Cambodia. Okay. For Cambodia, my team, we had the impression we were going to be working with orphanages, which, I don't know, like, I love kids, and I love that I got to go to Cambodia, but that's not why I wanted to, why I wanted to go. And so it was kind of interesting to find that we had not gotten the chance to go to Cambodia to do orphanage work, but we got to go to a remote village and really just build relationship with the community and do house visits for 4 weeks. And so for me, that was such a cool opportunity, because I love building relationship with people, because I don't like the idea of just talking to somebody and then leaving and not knowing what happened. And you know, not knowing them in a way that actually can affect them, and getting to see them grow and like even just learning more about them and stuff. So this one house we went to on a whim, we had just come from a house where we had already been building a relationship with a little blind boy who had been going to the church regularly. And we went to her house because our translator had said she had just lost her mom and was really, really lonely. And so he's like, is it okay if we go there? And we're all, of course, like, yes, please, like, take us to this woman's house. And so we walked down the path and we got there, and it was crazy because she was surrounded by people. And so immediately we're thinking, well, how can she be lonely? She's got all these people around her. And so I didn't actually know who she was until we had asked our translator who we were coming here to see. And she came over to us after he had asked, and we just asked if we could pray for her just so that she wouldn't feel lonely. And at this point we didn't know how much time we'd have for her, and so we just immediately start praying, and she received it so openly. And so we're just praying against loneliness and that she would feel a connection in the community, but also a connection with God. And she has no idea what we're saying, of course, because she only speaks Khmer. But yeah, we're just praying, and I'm not even kidding. We say amen, and 2 minutes later, everyone rises and moves. We were then instantly, immediately, like, we're able to see on her face and her physical being how lonely she actually was, because it was as everything in her just dropped, because she was no longer with people who knew her, no longer surrounded by laughter and joy. And it was only like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so the rest of her day is nothing. Like, she's got no one there. And so I thank God for that moment, because we were actually able to see how serious this was. And so we started praying for her some more after that, because we just thought, oh, okay, now we know what's going on. So we were praying again, and then after that she was just kind of sitting there. We could kind of see that something had happened, so we asked her, like, did you feel anything? And she said, yeah, it feels weird. And so we're like, oh, okay, good weird, bad weird, what you got going on? And she's like, good weird. And she kind of like points to her heart, like she's holding her heart. And I'm like, oh dang, God, you just filled this place. And so we started talking to her more about who God is and how much he loves her and cares for her. And we're starting to get these like vivid images of that she's been crying herself to sleep like every night. And so we like start pouring into how God catches every tear and is just always there for her and holding her hand when she feels alone, there by her side when no one else is. And all this amazing God stuff, of course, the amazing God that we serve. And she started to like, you could see there was something moving inside of her, that there was something going on. And so I was so excited in this moment, because as soon as you could see it, I was like, oh my goodness, she's getting it. Like, it's happening. And so we start sharing more of the gospel with her. And at this point, we're like, she's ready. She's ready to like give everything to God right now. And so it just so happened that our translator was the pastor of our church. And so he is like an amazing translator as well. And so nothing got lost in translation.
Good.
Thank you, God. And when she was ready, we asked her, like, would you like to pray and receive God in your life and like welcome him into your home? And she said yes. And so he led her in the prayer so that we didn't like get lost in translation again. Yeah. And afterwards, she was like smiling and so filled with joy. And I'm like, oh, that, like you said, Gordy, like, if this is it, if this is the only woman that I get to see come to God, if she is the only reason I'm on this trip, then it's worth it.
Yeah.
And afterwards, she had told us that she grew up believing and has felt the effects of the spiritual realm, because when someone dies, they haunt your home. And so she hadn't been sleeping very well, and she'd actually been very scared in her own home. And so we prayed against that as well. And one of my team members, she got this amazing and beautiful image of two strong angels guarding her home, and shared that with her and said, you will not have to worry. They are here and they're guarding your home, and there's nothing else. God is in your home. And so it was just like I like wept afterwards, but like it was amazing. And a couple of nights later, we had again went to visit the blind boy that we continued to have relationship with. And we're walking over, and will never forget this moment. I was looking down on the ground and I was having this conversation with God, being like, if you have not been in her home and she's still suffering, you and I are going to have a serious talk later. Like, I am going to be so frustrated. And in that moment, it was like he just told me to look up. And I looked up and I saw her face and she was beaming, like, giant smile on her face. And yeah, we prayed again and she told us everything. Like, she's been fine. God is, like, she's felt God. And wow. Like, she's been feeling so warm and welcome. Mm-hmm. And she now is going to the church regularly and has a community there. And I'm Yay. Like, oh, so good.
That's
and
good. Come
yeah,
on.
Love her. So, yeah, I will never forget her. And, yeah, she's just, yeah, again, if she's the reason I went, then I couldn't have asked for anything more.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. Praise Him.
Hallelujah.
Gordy, when you were in Mexico,
yeah,
what was something that God taught you?
Or, like, one of the things that was very evident is that, like, if you're... this is just like an analogy of it, but like if your hands are like filled with something else, then you don't have room to hold what God has for you. So like if you're like holding on to like other things, and it could be something as simple as like you go on your cell phone too much, or like you spend too much time like focused on this, or if it's something like you're holding on to stuff in your heart, then like there's no room in your hands for like God to put what He has for you in them.
Yeah.
So I think that was like the hardest thing I learned on outreach. Yeah. It's just kind of like one of those things where I learned that I don't like want to miss out on what God has for me. And like, it kind of just like outreach encouraged me to just kind of like live life.
Yeah.
Like I'm not that, so that I don't regret anything.
Yeah.
In a weird way. So mm-hmm. yeah.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Petra, what about you? Is there something that God taught you while you're in India?
Yeah, kind of in both places. It was kind of funny. I had to learn the lesson twice, apparently.
Okay.
That's classic me. I struggled hard with the spirit of loneliness in both Cambodia and India, especially because there's two very strong spiritual strongholds over those countries, which was it was hard. It was really hard. But it really taught me about being spiritually aware of like what your surroundings have, and just even being aware of like what cities hold and what spirits are over those places, because they really do affect who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, like, I got to learn about the spiritual realm, which I'm always fascinated with.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I really truly got to learn that when I'm alone, or it feels like I'm alone, I really have my best friend beside me at all times. And it was one of those head-to-heart knowledges of knowing that, like, Jesus is my best friend and He knows me the best. And when I crave someone to just be with me and sit beside me, and someone who just knows that I even just need to sit there in quiet with someone, that He's there. Like, He's holding me if I need to be held, or He's listening to me if I have to talk. Or yeah, so I think that was just a really cool lesson of knowing that I'm never actually alone, even if I feel like no one is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, of course I was surrounded by my teammates, but it's that, I don't know, I think I had to go through that so that I could understand that God was always there, and that, I don't know, now when I'm struggling with something, like, I always want to talk to Him first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always want to be like, hey, like, you know, I'll talk to other people later, but I'm just going to go and have, like, some, you know, daddy-daughter time, like,
cool.
Let's go and hang out. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just kind of one of those things that it was really, really tough, but from it, I got to, like, have this newfound excitement to always go to Him.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, no, like, other people can wait, like, their opinions, their thoughts, their encouragement, their presence can wait, because the presence of my Father is so much greater.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's really cool. That's really cool. One more question on the topic of outreach and DTS in general. That is Discipleship Training School. Are you guys glad that you've done a DTS? People can't hear your nods.
Absolutely.
Say something.
Yeah, no, it's like, seriously, you like give God like 6 months of your life to like do whatever He wants in your heart, and He uses it.
Yeah.
That's like all I can really say without going into a really long rant about how good DTS is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I think that, I mean, if anyone's listening who is considering a DTS, like, do it if you're willing to put 100% of your heart into it.
You have to give up a lot.
Yeah, you have to lay things down and you have to put things on hold, and that's hard. It's not easy going through DTS. It's life-altering, and it's affected my life so greatly, but it comes from a place of willingness to put your heart into it, because I'm sure students come and go, and some of them don't do that, and I think that if you don't, then you're just wasting your time. Yeah. But if you really jump in wholeheartedly, then God will rock your world and change your perspective. And because I don't regret coming at all.
Yeah.
The more you put in, the more you get out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Awesome. Well, that's a shameless plug for DTS. And I'll just add one more thing to that. If it's something you're considering, pray. And if God says do it, do it.
Yeah,
if God says don't do it, don't do it.
It's a great thing, but you got to make sure you have God's approval first.
Yeah. And YWAM isn't the only thing God works through. Praise Him.
Yeah. And absolutely.
DTS is not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior.
Yeah.
And God doesn't need YWAM, but He likes to use it.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there. We don't put our faith in YWAM or DTS. It's in Jesus. We're going to turn the page now into another topic, and that is being ginger.
Ooh.
Which is something that I am not.
No, you're not.
It's something that Petra is, and it's something that Gordy is half.
It's kind of. I can give half of my opinion on this.
Good. Well, I can give none of mine.
Okay.
It's general consensus and popular opinion that gingers have no souls. But I can hear just from this conversation here.
It's true.
Everyone everyone has been able to tell it's true as well.
I take that offensively.
I'm sorry. I'm ginger, I can say it.
Yeah.
You are... No, okay.
In this lighting, he definitely is. Definitely on the brown side of ginger, but he's definitely a ginger.
Yeah.
You're more on the orange side of ginger.
Hey, this is not orange.
Strawberry blonde?
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I don't know how strawberries can be blonde. Anyway, strawberries are actually red.
I don't get it either, but like...
Great. Okay, so I want to know.
Okay.
What was it like growing up as a ginger? Petra, first of all. Because you're the most ginger.
I was born ginger. Yes, it's true. When I was a kid, all my friends were like brunettes and blondes, and they usually had like bone straight hair. And I'm sorry, listeners, you can't see, but I have like curly hair. And when I was a kid, it went fro. So
not every bone is straight. Have you seen the shape of the pelvis? Okay.
Sorry, it's the same.
Way to bring up the pelvis.
such a random
just really
bone
thrust
to pick.
That one in there.
Okay, where is this going?
Back to you.
Is going back to pregnancy or something.
No, back
oh
to you.
Goodness. Okay.
No.
Anyways, no. So I
blonde, brunette, straight hair.
Yeah, I just it took some years for me to actually appreciate my individuality. So there were times where like I would talk to my mom, and for some reason, when my hair was wet, I could see like brown strands in my hair, and I immediately thought, oh my gosh, my hair is going to turn brown, because I grew up with parents that had dark brown hair. So I was like, it's gonna happen. And so I talked to my mom, and she shut me down pretty fast. So I kind of got the reality check at a young age of like, let's say 9, where it was like, no, your hair is going to stay red for the rest of your life until it turns white.
I'm curious though, was it a, I'm sorry, honey, or was it a, guess what? You're gonna be ginger your whole life. Was it an exciting discovery, or was it really disappointing?
Well, at that age, with that kind of like hype of, I'm turning into a brunette.
Yeah.
It was more like, I love you, no.
I love you, but.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
So it's like, you know, can I have another cookie? No.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
So it was more of a, you don't know what's best for you.
Yeah. But also, like, I'm thinking from my mom's side, it probably hurt her to see me so excited to be something I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, how do I teach my daughter to love herself in this moment?
So what was the negative stigma as of being a ginger at school? Did you get teased? Or was it just kind of like an offhanded comment every now and then?
It was more like the offhanded comment every once in a while. It was just, I think, I don't know what it is, but you learn really quickly in school that if you're not like everyone else, it's not cool. Like, it's not a good thing, which is really unfortunate because now I love my individuality and I love the fact that I'm different from others. And so, I don't know, like, it wasn't even how I was raised either, because my parents both, like, raised me and my brother up in a way that was, you know, to appreciate yourself for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever reason in society that I grew up in, it was, you know, you look at everyone else and, you know, one of these things isn't like the other. And,
you.
One of these things is not like the others. One of these things doesn't belong. Can you tell which thing is not like the other by the time I finish this song?
And so it's kind of like, oh, okay, what do you do about it? And so, that on top of my name being Petra, and you know how you get like the personalized pens and stuff, and like Petra doesn't exist. And so
you got album covers though.
I did, but you know there's something about being 9 years old and having a 80s rock band. You know, it's just not cool at that age. You know, you're not going to school being like, check it guys, you may have pens, but I've got albums. Like, you know, that's just not what you do. And so I struggled, but then, you know, Kick a Ginger Day became a thing, and that was in high school.
Okay, when did that happen? And think on that. I have a statement to make, and that is, we were all made to stand out.
Yes.
It's just gingers have a red head start. Gingers have a head start.
Yeah.
But it came out with redhead. I'm sorry.
Pause. I have a play on words. Let me say it.
Let me say it. I am a genius.
Prepare yourself.
Oh, goodness.
Gordy, you don't strike me as the type of guy that would have been ginger enough to be teased about it at school. And is that true? And I mean, your facial hair is red.
Yeah.
Which is, it's bringing out the ginger within.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's so many ginger beards around.
Yeah,
particularly in YWAM, I've just seen so many.
Mm.
It's weird. But so were you ever, did you get that whole ginger vibe?
Yeah, I think it was partially because of the fact that, like, I didn't grow up with many other gingers.
Okay.
So to a certain extent, I was like the only person that could be made fun of for being a ginger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously there was a point where that wasn't the case, but I think I got made fun of more of the fact that I was kind of on the edge of being a ginger, but not really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're on the fringe, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
I'm just not seeing it. Sorry, I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly staring at your head of hair right now, which looks like it's straight out of the Old Testament, but where is the red? I'm really not seeing it.
There's a sheen to it. Can you see that ginger sheen?
It's like a tinge. It's called the ginge tinge.
The ginge tinge.
Did you just come up with that?
No, that's been a thing. I have a ginge tinge.
Oh, wow.
And
I mean,
it's, yeah, because it's kind of like that thing where people are like, yeah, kind of, but not really. It always starts with, like, one kid, and we all know that kid that's, like, ginger, followed by the other kid that goes, like, it's kind of, you know,
take.
That's
right.
It's like,
sort of, depends on the lighting.
Yeah.
I would just look at that kid and be like, liar! Like, that's not... That's
have you seen this?
Yeah, right, like,
but then,
where is the ginger kid?
You're coming at it from a very particular... perspective.
Sorry. Yeah, it's
and
a little,
that
it's
every
a little
time,
offensive.
Every time you look in the mirror, you're seeing.
There is no ginge tinge to this. It's just 100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're coming with a comparative view, whereas someone like me, who grew up looking at brown hair, I'm looking at Gordy thinking, yeah, no, he's definitely more ginger than me.
Well,
so I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So it is. Fine. It's a matter of perspective.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm glad we. Straighten that out.
Low blow.
Sorry.
Low blow to my 9-year-old self.
Sorry. Okay, so we'll wrap it up with this. Why not? So what is Kick a Ginger Day? Okay. It sounds like fun.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure it was someone who's not being kicked.
I remember that there was like one point, I heard a story. People got seriously injured during Kick a Ginger Day. Like, and I think it was started by South Park, if I'm correct.
Okay.
So South Park, it was like a joke they did on South Park. It wasn't a thing, just like Kick a Ginger Day. And then it happened, and then they like made fun of it on the show, and then some person made it a real life thing too, where you would go around and you would kick a ginger on that day. And I think I got kicked in my life a total of 3 times. So it didn't happen that bad for me.
Right.
But of course, not everyone knew Kick a Ginger Day was a thing.
And not everybody knew you were a ginger, apparently.
And not everyone knew I was a ginger, so I got away with it.
Okay.
So
it was more like somebody kicks you and you go, "Hey, I'm not ginger." And they go, "Well, and then, you kind of are, so only a half kick. Come on."
Yeah. And then it's kind of just like turned into a debate all the time where whether it was ginger or not. That's the thing. Like, a lot of the time, like, it would happen where, like, a bunch of friends would come and then they'd be like, "He's ginger, he's not." And then there'd be, like, a group of 10 people, one side arguing why I'm not a ginger, while the other 10 were, like, arguing he is.
You were a subject of debate.
I was a debate.
Mr. Speaker!
Could you not have just walked down the aisle of people on either side and just removed yourself from the situation?
I could have, but I like the attention.
Oh. Yeah.
Watch me, okay. This was like grade 8, Gordy, remember.
Oh, so, okay.
This was before DTS.
Yeah.
Before that life-changing thing.
Right. Okay. So, what I'm getting here is that it's less real teasing, because people can't exactly make fun of a genetic difference that happens random generationally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a, "You look a bit different, so I'm going to make fun of you." Just like if that person has, has a big nose, then we're going to make fun of them. I'm not equating being a ginger with having a big nose, mind you. But it's just that difference in appearance that makes somebody stand out. That reminds me of tall poppy syndrome, which is an Australian New Zealand thing. It's bad to be different. It's bad to be good at something. So if you're really smart, people will make fun of you about that. So it cuts you back down. You're like the poppy that's grown above everyone, all the other flowers, and they just chop you off, lopping a poppy. That's kind of what that reminds me of.
Mm.
I was just looking at you now, Gordy. I'm thinking the reason you probably look even more ginger now is that you have the beard grown.
Yeah.
So we can see the color transition from the ginger in your beard to your head of hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fully admit I'm ginger beard. That's 100%.
Yeah. We can put this down to the fact that both of you have at least slightly, but definitely ginger hair.
Mm-hmm.
And you're both pasty white.
Yes, I think that's actually another reason why I'm equated to being ginger, is because usually you think pasty skin, and I already have that down, and then I have reddish hair, so people automatically are just like, okay.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, well that's putting things in perspective, and I think I understand the psychology behind being ginger a little better, and I trust the listeners at home or wherever they are would as well. And yeah, I mean, if nothing else, this is putting us in your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're all about here on Past This Middle Kid, is opening up topics and putting our feet inside them.
That sounds weird.
It does. Okay, well, with that said, you can follow Past This Middle Kid on Facebook, facebook.com/PastThisMiddleKid, or Twitter at PMKPodcast. I'd love to hear from you if you have any suggestions for topics or anything that I could do differently. Constructive criticism is not necessarily welcome. Email ryan.luke.winslade@gmail.com. It'd be great to hear from you. And yeah, I mean, Petra and Gordy, it's been awesome having you back.
Yay.
In my life.
This is the three-peat.
On the podcast. And it's Gordy's third, Petra's second.
Oh.
And
fan favorite over here.
Yeah.
Hey-o, we're the one that's available the most.
Shout out to Shelly.
Yeah.
Go Shelly.
Yeah. You always have one new listener when I come on.
Come on.
Oh, and, you know, just cuz. Hi, Mom.
How are you?
Hi, Mom.
I'll see you in a couple days.
Yay! So, yeah, these guys are on their debrief week. They're about to head back to the Great White North. And, yeah, go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
Which is super exciting. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, we have bigger and better things happening in the dining room right now with dinner.
Mm.
So why don't we sign this off? Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time. Bye.
Going to go back where I was would just be wrong. I'm pressing on, pressing on. All my distress is going, going, gone. Pressing on, pressing on. And I won't sit back and take